You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Tonight on ESPN's Monday Night Football, the Raiders play their first game in Vegas against Drew Brees and the Saints. Our coverage starts with Monday Night Countdown, 6 Eastern, followed by Saints and Raiders. It's on ESPN and ABC and the ESPN app and the expanded megacast on ESPN2 with Reese Davis and Kirk Herbstreit. That should be a very interesting game. Who you like tonight, Dan? You like the Raiders or the Saints?
The Saints. The Raiders' defense still isn't there.
What do you think, Breck?
No, I agree. I agree, but it's going to be a lot closer with Michael Thomas.
The Raiders got some good young talent.
They do.
The Saints defense is really good, but Sean Payton will be creative enough to kind of attack some of those pieces in the Raiders secondary.
We'll see. That's how the NFL weekend will end. Meanwhile, let's take you through the rest of it here as I welcome you back to another hour of Get Up. We are live from the Seaport District at Pier 17, brought to you by Chase. And it's time to get up with an epic comeback and an even crazier collapse that left everybody saying, how about them Cowboys? Then, oh, what a night. Superstars collide in a primetime classic decided by 1 yard on the final play. Wait until you see this. And a week away from their showdown next Monday night, which of these young superstars really leads the best team in the NFL? Answers to those and other questions as we get up with you, starting right now. Cowboys, Falcons, good to the last drop, to the last second. Cowboys' second drive now. Dak Prescott on a third down. Can't do this, Dan.
Atlanta brought pressure versus this beat-up offensive line. Dak third down, trying to get out of that pocket. Early fumble, hurt your football team.
And leads to a Falcons score. Remember, fumble leads to score. Happens again, Zeke on the fumble, and the Falcons would take it in again.
Trying to get extra yardage, their stars hurt them early, and all of a sudden they fall down 14-0.
And then the Cowboys in the first quarter, 4th-and-3 in their own territory, they're faking a punt. Rex, do you like it?
Yeah, there's a $40 million punter. Oh, that's right, he's not. What the heck is he doing faking a punt like this? What, are you going to throw an out route? Yeah, step into it. Yeah, there you go. Skips it. Great job. So genius. Absolute genius.
Rex did not like the call.
He did not like the call. They would fall down 20-0, but now they're clawing back. 5 minutes to go in the fourth. Down 39-24. That's the play that you showed us earlier, Dan. A great throw.
It's one of my favorite throws of Dak, just throwing that tight end open. And then this one, just to hold that corner, make sure he gets lost by that receiver. The receiver gets lost by the corner. And then just throwing the ball up to Gallup. You see the athleticism. Full elevation, go high and catch it, and somehow get in bounds.
38 yards on the play. That sets up two plays later. Dak taking it in himself. So the Cowboys are down by 2 after the extra point, which means they need to execute the onside kick, which no one can cover anymore because they've changed the rules. Oh, my goodness.
Terrible kick. What? How the heck did that ball get there, Greeny?
So many ways in which this thing has to go right for the Cowboys. Falcons look like they're a third baseman thinking it's just going to roll foul. Mm-hmm. It's just going to roll foul. And it never does. And the Cowboys fall on it, and they're in business. That is an extraordinary play. Jerry Jones thrilled. We'll talk about how it happened in a moment. But first, let's show you how the Cowboys used it to win the game. That's CeeDee Lamb. That's 24 yards. They're in field goal range. And that would set up Greg the Leg Zuerlein from 46 yards away. This to cap an improbable comeback. From 20-0 down, the Cowboys win it 40-39. Their first win of the season is a thriller in every sense of the word.
We showed our resiliency today. I want to thank just those 21,000 plus fans that showed up today. As you said, I don't know if I've been in many games like this. To be able to get the win and feeling those fans that were there, that stayed the whole game, that didn't give up on us, it was simply just incredible.
You look at any great season that you're able to put together, you have big moments that you're able to build off of. This is a big moment to build off of.
And Rex was nodding along as he heard Mike McCarthy saying that. How unlikely was this? Well, it had never happened before. The Falcons scored 39 points and had 0 turnovers. Going back to 1933, that had never happened before. A team scoring that many points and not turning it over. They were 440-0 until yesterday. So, a spectacular win. But I want Ryan Clark, I want to start with you. because let's just talk about the onside kick for a moment here, because it really boils down to that. Did the Falcons blow it? It's one thing, it was a beautifully executed kick, but did the Falcons blow it on the coverage?
They absolutely blew it, and the Falcons look like they had never went over this at all in training camp. When the ball is rolling, they're acting like if they touch it before 10 yards, that it's a penalty. They also don't block anyone. You didn't see bodies attached to body, which is what you're normally supposed to do, because there's a guy who has the surest hands on the team who's usually supposed to catch the ball or pick it up. This is all on Dan Quinn. This is all on his special teams coordinator, but it's also on the players. You have to execute in these moments, but sometimes the game is about perspective. When you're up on the team and you've scored 39 points and you don't have turnovers and you've been leading the whole game, that's the team that gets a little tight. That's the team that's a little nervous, but the Dallas Cowboys have been playing with house money all day, so that team was loose. That team understood what was going on. And Greg Zuerlein and Coach Fossil have done this numerous times, which you saw sometimes with the fakes early on in the day that didn't work. The Dallas Cowboys were more prepared. The Dallas Cowboys were more courageous. The Dallas Cowboys were more ready for this moment. And that's what happened to the Atlanta Falcons. And the Atlanta Falcons find ways to lose in stadiums in Texas that are just beyond me, beyond anybody, and just unacceptable. The fact that Dan Quinn made it home to Atlanta and is still the head coach of this team is good for him, but I'm not sure how good it is for the franchise, because you can't go up on a team like that. You can't need to win a game the way that the Atlanta Falcons needed to win it and blow it because of you, not only just because of what the other team is doing. This can't happen, and it's happened too much to the Atlanta Falcons.
RC, in the meantime, on the other side of it, Rex, when Mike McCarthy was saying sometimes in a special season you need one of these kind of moments, you were nodding along. You feel like this was that for Dallas?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And look, I've been a part of a few special seasons, but I'm telling you, you know, one time we had Tony Banks threw 5 touchdown passes to win a game. We gave up 35 points when we were at the Ravens, record-setting defense. But we had that moment and found a way to win when there was no chance of winning. And that's what I saw. I saw so much. Dak Prescott had the dang eye of the tiger. He was not going to lose that game. And that's something that, look, I've seen the competitiveness in him. I've never seen him at that level.
Listen, Dan Orlovsky, it feels like almost every week is a referendum on Dak Prescott. If so, this was a very good week.
It was the $40 million a year quarterback performance. It was one of his shining moments. It's one that he can walk in to Jerry Jones's office and said, put this one in my box. You know, like this one goes into my file. And I've been very critical of Dak when it comes to this. Do you win the games that you're not supposed to, right? Win the game that you're not supposed to. Yesterday was a game that you shouldn't have won, Dallas. You were 3 offensive linemen out, bunch of guys beat up, you turn the ball over early, and you take a huge deficit at home early on. You're not supposed to win that football game, but somehow you did. And that's a really big kind of stepping stone for Dak Prescott, because we have all said this. He's probably one of the 2 or 3 most under pressure players in the NFL this season because of, hey, we're only going to give you the franchise tag. You're loaded with talent. And for him to lead that comeback and win that game, this could be one of his best performances as a Cowboy, because if this team falls to 0-2, going on the road to Seattle, your season's done. The greatest thing he did yesterday, he didn't press. And then when he needed to, he was the best player on the field. That's, to me, a difference maker, or a different Dak Prescott than we've seen in the past.
Okay, so that was the performance of the day yesterday, maybe the game of the day, but the football day ended at night with an extraordinary game that comes down to the final 1 yard. Seattle and New England. Does it sound familiar? Those two teams might finish a game decided by 1 yard. We saw it in the Super Bowl once upon a time, but of course, that fella on the left was not the quarterback of the Patriots then. We're going to start on the first drive for the Seahawks. Russell Wilson having a great start to the season, but this, Dan, not his favorite moment.
Bad break, bro. I mean, you should not, one, get an interception on a shallow cross when the ball's thrown well. 2, it should not get tipped up in the air and pick a return for a pick 6. So just a bad break for Russell.
That's his first interception on the season. And so the Seahawks are down early. early by a 7-0 score. Now we take it to the third quarter. Seahawks in Patriot territory. They're down 17-14. And watch David Moore win the battle on this one for his quarterback.
Big time trust from Russell to give him this ball. But then just the body control. Like to look back, search for that football, find it, and then watch the right foot clip the pylon. And then the awareness to get that foot back inbounds to make sure it doesn't step out and kind of secure that touchdown. Just remarkable athleticism.
Wilson would throw 5 touchdowns on the day. Here's the 5th one. With his team up 5 on a 2nd down at the Patriot 18-yard line, this is Chris Carson.
Look at the air. Look at the air. All-out pressure comes. You're throwing the ball to a running back. Make sure you throw enough air out underneath that throw to allow him to kind of adjust and track it down.
So the Seahawks up a dozen, but hold on. He wasn't the only quarterback who had a great night. Cam Newton had a great night.
Cam was remarkable. I mean, throwing the football, confident in what he was doing, finishing runs near the goal line. This was a big-time performance by number one.
So now it's a 5-point game. Under a minute left, still a 5-point game. Patriots ball at the Seahawks, 48. And Rex, this is like the Cam of old.
Yeah, no, it's so scary. How could the entire league be so dumb? Like, Cam Newton's still Cam Newton.
Look how close he comes to winning the game right there to Edelman.
It's a very catchable ball, but it's really difficult. Watch Edelman have to turn full speed over his left shoulder and adjust to that football, and it's coming hot. You're going to see him make that catch more often than not, just going to get it done there. And then, Greeny, this final play, Seattle just completely sells out. Cam Newton's going to get the ball. He's going to run it. Bobby Wagner makes this play. Outstanding surge by the full defense.
So once again, between the Patriots and Seahawks, it comes down to 1 yard on the final play. And this time, it is Seattle that comes up and makes the defensive play. Jamal Adams and company celebrating as they hold on to win 35-30. And yet, on a night where Seattle wins and Russell Wilson throws 5 touchdowns, RC, I feel like the story is Cam. We watched last week and we said, oh, well, he's just going to run, I guess. They can't throw the football. Last night, Cam Newton was spectacular in every way. What does that mean for the Patriots, big picture?
Listen, it's Russ's MVP year, but it is Cam's career on the line every time he plays, and he showed you last night that he's back. When you go back to week 1 against the Miami Dolphins, it was about call Cam Newton runs, some RPO game, just doing enough offensively. Last night, it was about giving the keys to the car to Cam Newton and letting him drive, and I thought he did an amazing job. You look at some of the connections between him and Julian Edelman facing Jamal Adams, who's probably the top safety in the game right now. There were balls that were pinpoint accurate. He threw with velocity. He threw with confidence, and he played like Superman. Many people talked about Cam Newton's personality, Cam Newton's charisma, the character he was, and how it would fit in New England. What I've seen fit more than anything is Cam, the football player, the big, physical, strong, confident quarterback, and Josh McDaniels' offense. They needed this piece. The fact that it took them so long to realize that is beyond me. He's made the players on the outside better. He's made this offense more versatile, and they are more fun to watch and effective than they were late in the season last year. Before this all started, I said, oh, Cam will be good. If he's healthy, they will be good. They will compete in the AFC East with the Buffalo Bills. The way this team is playing offensively, if this defense can get back around to what it was last year, they have a real shot to make noise in the playoffs. I'm going to be honest. I'm happy for Cam. I said on this show that I'd be wearing Cam Newton jerseys on Sunday. And last night made it be that I wasn't wearing those jerseys because I was rooting for him to do well. I'm going to be wearing that jersey because I'm a fan of the man playing quarterback for the New England Patriots and the way that he's doing it.
He was great. And Rex, I know that coaching against him, you always hated it. You hated going up against him because it was so tough. Did that look like the Cam of his prime?
Yeah, that's what's so scary about this. And, you know, because look, I wanted to write off the Patriots. I'm like, hey, let's just give it and hand it to the Bills right now. And that may very well happen. But I tell you what, they're going to have to beat New England. Because Cam Newton, look, they never won the game, but they won the night.
Yep.
And the reason, Cam Newton, to me, look at the zip. I never thought he'd have the zip ever again with the shoulder injuries and all the injuries that he's had. But he clearly has it. And look, I still don't like their weapons, yet he made them work to the tune of 400 yards passing. So, I mean, man, oh, man, if you're a Patriot fan, you could sleep well because you got a hell of a quarterback still.
Yeah, Bill Belichick would never say that. This, but this is a great loss. I mean, for you to go across the country and go toe-to-toe with the hottest quarterback in football and get into a shootout and bring it down to the last play, like, you feel really confident as a football team. And RC brings up a good point of, like, the defense. I assume that they will get better. But the fact that you can go 1 week and be run dominant as a football team, and then the next week become air dominant. They were dominant through the air last night. They're a better football team than I expected, because I had been outspoken going, those receivers are going to hold them back. And I know Seattle's pass rush stinks, and they lost two safeties, and so they were attacked. But the fact that Cam looks comfortable throwing the football, looks confident throwing the football, is going to give Josh McDaniels more confidence going, we can go throw it 60 times like we did with Tom, if that's what's necessary to go win the football game. They're a better team and a better offensive football team than I thought through week two.
And I think what has to be said is, look, Tom Brady is the greatest of all time. You will never say they're better off without him. But this particular incarnation of this team is probably better with Cam Newton and what he does than with Tom Brady he does.
Say it. I know you've been scarred by Tom Brady. It's not, you wouldn't never say it. It's not that this is probably better. This collection of players, Jacoby Myers, Damir Bird, N'Keal Harry, is better with Cam Newton at quarterback. Period. They are. He does more with this team than Tom Brady ever could. And that's not a knock on their careers. It's not in any way to negate Tom Brady's greatness. They needed Cam Newton. This was a match made in heaven, the same way Cam Newton said it was. It was beautiful to watch last night.
I couldn't say it better myself. We'll take a quick break. We'll do much more as we go. There's so much football from yesterday. The last two MVPs have their teams at 2-0. They face off next week. Who is the class of the AFC? Mahomes and the Chiefs or Jackson and the Ravens? We'll talk about it. Plus, it wasn't the King, but it was his buddy who was the Lakers' hero last night. Do the Lakers look unstoppable right now? That's the question. The answer's coming up. This is Get Up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Delicious, meet nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
We are back on Get Up. Ravens and Texans yesterday, and that's Deshaun Watson, and this is a play he's not going to like. Baltimore is up by 6, and now their defense is coming up. Oh, they're going to punch it out and make a play on the field. They're going to call him out at the 1-yard line on the return here by L.J. Fort. They would review it. It would be called a touchdown. The Ravens would take a 20-7 lead. In for the score he goes. To the fourth quarter we go. The Ravens are up by 10. And here comes the direct snap to Mark Ingram.
This is like jumbo personnel. So many big bodies on the field. They spread Lamar Jackson out. You see him run from the bottom of the screen. And then Mark Ingram just follows that double power karate kick to that Texans logo. Run game is just dominant for Baltimore.
33-16 Baltimore. So that's maybe the best team in the AFC, or maybe the Chiefs are the best team in the AFC. Well, they had a battle yesterday with the rookie quarterback, Justin Herbert. But we're going to go all the way to overtime. We showed you how this broke down. Herbert to Mike Williams, who should have been beyond the sticks, but he's not. They're short of the first down again. In the overtime, they make the tough decision to punt it back to Patrick Mahomes, and he makes them pay. Darwin Thompson. This is on a fourth down play. The Chiefs decide to go for it. They weren't deep in their own territory, but that keeps the drive alive, and that sets up Harrison Butker from 58 yards. Chiefs win. It wasn't pretty, but they get the win 23-20, and so the Chiefs and the Ravens both unbeaten, and that begs the question as they head into their showdown meeting on Monday Night Football next week. Who's the best team in the AFC? Rex.
I think it's Baltimore. And Greeny, nobody talks about this. Their defense is number one in the league after they acquired Marcus Peters. Mm-hmm. And so to me, if you got the number one offense and the number one defense in the league, how are you not the number one team?
Dan, number one team in the AFC.
It's Kansas City Chiefs. This is still the defending Super Bowl champion. Do not get caught up in what you just saw in the Chargers game. The Chargers always play them difficult. They're scheme-wise and personnel-wise built exactly the way San Francisco is. They're the only two teams in the NFL that are built like that. The addition of Clyde Edwards-Helaire will continue to pay dividends for this football team. Now, they got to get better to stop the run up in the middle. They got to get better defensively stopping the run. But I'm still taking the Kansas City Chiefs because they got the best player on the planet.
Ryan Clark, for the second time this morning, I'm asking you to break a tie. Which is the best team in the AFC?
I'm going to go back to one of Dan's analogies from earlier. It's the Baltimore Ravens. The Baltimore Ravens are the Avengers, but this is Infinity Wars, and Patrick Mahomes is still Thanos. And so they always have a shot. This is very much how I felt about these teams last year. Going into the playoffs, I knew the Baltimore Ravens were the best overall team. The Kansas City Chiefs are right there, and their quarterback's the best in the world. And so we got to see how that plays out.
Next. So who did he pick?
He took the Ravens, man.
He took the Ravens.
He just can't say it. But he's a Pittsburgh Steeler. The Ravens.
Hey, listen, man.
Go ahead.
Hey, Greeny, I said it. And listen, I understand. Yeah. I'm with Dan, and I'm with Rex. Everything Rex said is true. And all those things still existed last year in the second half of the football season. But then we watched the playoffs, and we saw the best player in the world be the best player in the world. I think that these two teams meet up in the regular season. When they do, I'm going to pick the Baltimore Ravens.
Next week.
When these two teams meet in the playoffs, which I hope they do, I'm going to pick the Kansas City Chiefs. So right now, yes, the Baltimore Ravens are the best team. Patrick Mahomes is still the best player in the world.
They will play next Monday night, a week from tonight, in Baltimore. Those two teams will go head-to-head for their regular season meeting this year, and we'll see what winds up happening there. And I said it on the radio last week, and I'll say it again. And, Ryan, I can't believe you're not on my side on this. I'm telling you right now, the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to beat one of them in the playoffs. The Pittsburgh Steelers, with Ben looking like Ben again in that defense, they are the Steelers. You know what? That's not an easy win yesterday. The Broncos are not going to be an easy win for any team in the league. They won easier than the Chiefs did yesterday. I'm telling you right now, the Steelers are going to beat one of those teams in the playoffs.
Greeny, I feel like Soulja Boy over here. Driscoll? we're excited because we let Driscoll score 21 in Pittsburgh. I know there's no fans. That is not the type of dominant performance that you needed to see from my Pittsburgh Steelers after you put them in the big three. It's not the big three right now. And if it's a big three, it's like Dwayne Wade, LeBron, and big Chris Bosh. It's not like the Celtics big three.
Go ahead.
I picked Pittsburgh to win the division.
Me too.
And as great as Baltimore has been, I expect them to get better and better. They're the best blitzing defense in football right now. Claypool is a player. Like, I told people he was going to become a player. And Big Ben is just starting to show, like, okay, I'm not the fourth best quarterback in our division.
I'm going to show you some clips of Ben Roethlisberger coming up a little later in this hour that is going to sell you on that. Meanwhile, as we continue here on Get Up on a very busy morning on this Monday, what we still have coming up here is, if you aren't paying attention to Kyler Murray, you're making an enormous mistake. Why the Cardinals quarterback is making the NFL look like his own personal video game. Much more from Kyler and company as we continue. You're watching Get Up on ESPN. We are back on Get Up, and there's only 1 week left of the regular season, and both these games are important for playoff positioning. Tomorrow, 6:30 Eastern on ESPN and the ESPN app. The Yankees second in the East. Blue Jays are third. They play the second of four in Buffalo. Then the AL West leading A's and NL West leading Dodgers open a three-game set at Dodgers Stadium. Tons of baseball coming your way tomorrow on ESPN. Meanwhile, the thrilling finish last night, Lakers-Nuggets game two in the bubble. Going to pick it up at the very end of the game with the Nuggets down by one, 40 seconds to go. Jamal Murray, No. Nikola Jokic, yes. Nuggets a 9-0 run to take a one-point lead. Same score, 30 seconds to go. Anthony Davis. The Nuggets just had no answers for him all night long. AD taking it strong. He would score 31. Lakers, a one-point lead. Ensuing possession. Jokic, 20 seconds to go. Look at the power. Muscling it home. 7 of 8 now is Jokic on game-tying and go-ahead field goals in the final 30 seconds. Nuggets up one. 13 seconds to go. Lakers, where are you going for a bucket? Alex Caruso, open for a reason. No good. Murray gets it to Danny Green. Jamal Murray is going to block this in the corner, and that's going to leave one last opportunity for the Lakers. Down by 2. Where are you going to go? Anthony Davis, ball game. Anthony Davis drilling the 3 as time expires. What a remarkable moment and a remarkable win for the Lakers. A heartbreaking defeat for Denver in game 2. The celebration is on. Anthony Davis and the Lakers win it 105-103 on that clutch shot. He and LeBron combined for 57. Lakers up 2-0.
It's for sure the biggest shot of my career. And you know, when I left, I just wanted to be able to compete for a championship. And I know that, you know, moments like this comes with it, especially being in LA, the biggest market in basketball. I mean, it's a special moment for me, special moment for the team, to do something like that, you know, in the jersey we wore tonight. You know, it just makes it even more special.
He said it's the biggest shot he's ever made. It's hard to argue. It may very well punch the Lakers' ticket to the final. Teams up 1-0 in a best of 7 that win game 2. Go on to win that series 93% of the time. If they're up 1-0 and lose game 2, it's basically a 50-50 shot whether or not they win the series. So a huge win for AD and the Lakers. Meanwhile, back to football. Dak Prescott and the Cowboys looking to come from 20-0 down to start this game against the Falcons, and they do. That's Dak punching one home, his 3rd rushing touchdown of the game, made this a 2-point game, and then the incredible onside kick, Dan Orlovsky, by Greg Zuerlein.
This ball looks just kind of turning. It's turning. It's cutting. Atlanta's sitting there going, okay, is this ball going to get there? Can we jump on it? They're obviously confused. Massive mistake by their special teams, and then this route by CeeDee Lamb. It's just so good. You see the defender on the ground. It's because he got worn out, not because he pushed off. Beautiful job by the rook.
Gives the Cowboys and Greg Zuerlein a chance to win it, and win it he does. 46 yards, ball game. Cowboys come from 20-0 down to get their first win of the season. Another heartbreaking loss for the Falcons in the state of Texas. And it's as unlikely. I keep showing you this number, but I can't get over it. The Falcons scored 39 points and had 0 turnovers. That had happened 440 times in NFL history, and that team had never lost, Rex. Had literally never lost.
Impossible to lose it, obviously. But how the heck, when you get, how in the heck, it's still hard to fathom.
That's what they're thinking to themselves. How in the heck did that happen? Meanwhile, let me take you through some of Sunday's standout performances. The Titans getting a return on their investment in Ryan Tannehill. He completed 75% of his throws, 4 touchdowns. Tennessee wins it 33-30 over Jacksonville. They start the season 2-0. Buffalo. Who said Josh Allen isn't a great passer? All he did yesterday was throw for 400 yards and 4 touchdowns. Only the 2nd Buffalo quarterback ever to do that. And then Big Ben is back. As I told you last week, his 2 touchdown throws passing Eli Manning for 8th on the all-time list. He's now thrown 5 touchdowns and 0 interceptions in his return this season. That elbow looks good, and so does the Steeler offense. Meanwhile, no one necessarily looks better than Kyler Murray. Cardinals taking on Washington early on. Dan Orlovsky, the kid's unbelievable.
He's just so creative with his eyes, coming back side to find Hopkins. I love the ball placement. You see the hesitation lost by the Washington football team. You lose the best player on the field, obviously. It's very difficult to do.
Cardinals up 7-0.
Look at this play design. This play design is so sweet. You bring those guys from the right side, bring them around to the left. You got an option pitch for Kyler. He can just go be so creative in space, put people kind of in hesitation, and the ability to cut back like a tailback.
I mean, that looks like a video game. That is remarkable to watch. And then here comes more from Kyler Murray.
This one as well. This is a kind of a RPO where he decides to go quarterback run first, lead the tailback in, watch him follow the back, and then just look at the speed, the burst through the hole, and then the ability to put in the ground, cut off the safety. He's just a special, special athlete.
Kyler Murray threw for 286, ran for 67, 3 total touchdowns. If we're making a list of the best quarterbacks in the NFL right now, how far do we go before we get to his name?
You're probably getting close to staying on one hand. I mean, as far as just such a difficult guy to play against. And here's the thing. He's the fastest player on the field more often than not. He's going to touch the ball every single play, obviously. He's developed so much in his pass game. The deep field or downfield shots that he was good at last year, but they didn't have people to go do it. Now Kirk is healthy. They've got Hopkins as well. And then you can get so creative in the run game, the ball distribution game that he's kind of developed. He's awesome.
And Rex, I know the thing you love about him is that he doesn't get hit.
No, he protects himself. I've never seen a guy take less hits. As soon as he scrambles, don't worry about it, Cardinal fans. He's not going to get hurt. He does not get touched. And so when you look at him, he either slides on the ground as a great baseball player, he gets out of bounds, or he sticks it in the end zone. Mm-hmm. You're not touching him. Dan, you and I talked about it. Remember in college, we're like, this kid never gets tackled.
Never, yeah.
And now he's not even getting touched. So to me, I've seen this one other time, I think, when thinking about all these players.
Uh-huh.
I think it's Michael Vick, but he throws the ball better. Mm-hmm. And so to me, that was it. The way Vick burst on the scene, that's the way this kid is right now.
Ryan Clark, what are we seeing in Kyler Murray here as he begins year 2 of his career?
Listen, he's a true master of deception. He can do things from the position that we haven't seen from other players. And, you know, Rex brought up Michael Vick, and you think of him. You think of Lamar Jackson, who revolutionized the run game from the quarterback position last year. But Kyler Murray's even better than that. If you want to ask anyone how good Kyler Murray is, ask Troy Apke, the safety for the Washington football team. There were 2 times last night on those touchdowns where he was by himself in the wide open field and he couldn't put his hands on him in the phone booth. Here is why that's so unbelievable. Because normally he does slide. Normally he doesn't take hits. He's developed a smooth way and a great understanding of knowing when he can make the extra move, knowing when he could score. You go back to the first week against the San Francisco 49ers, he rushed for a touchdown. Yesterday, he rushes for 2 touchdowns. Both of those had cuts that needed to be made. Both of those were made in crowded areas, but he understood that he had the space to make a play. He is unbelievable, not only physically, but mentally. And if he wasn't 5'10", we'd have been talking about Kyler Murray way more than this last year because he's a special, special talent.
I would love to kind of get you into this conversation when it comes to, like, a lot of times I think what's so difficult when the athletes become really kind of utilized skill players, right? They become pieces that teams move around as coaches go, who do we have to match up against this guy, whether in the pass game or the run game? Kyler has become such a dynamic player that I think defensive coordinators now have to ask themselves, it's not necessarily do we feel good with our play call, it's who do we want on the field when we know he's going to be a part of their run game that we believe can tackle him in the open field.
There was an old thing that throwback coaches like me would do. You want to blitz running quarterbacks,
right?
All right, because you don't want to get him started in space. You can't handle this kid in space. Unfortunately, there's a kid named DeAndre Hopkins on the team now.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to, you don't have anybody that can cover him. So there's so many weapons now that they have. And anytime you see a 4-man rush, you got to be like, oh my God. But DeAndre Hopkins, so he takes away all the blitzes from you because he's going to destroy man coverage.
Yeah.
And then you got Kyler Murray, you go 4-man rush or whatever. Now he gets you in space, nobody can tackle him. So you have a lot of problems here. And I want to tell you something. Cliff Kingsbury, you know, much was brought up. He brings in this air raid offense. This has nothing to do with air raid. Now it's an NFL offense, and I have the better player than you have, and he's taking advantage of it. And I've also noticed in their defense is playing better ever since he changed that philosophy.
They have 2 better players than you have because they have Murray
Greeny.
And they have Hopkins, who has 22 catches.
Here's one thing, Greeny,
which is the most of any player in history in his first 2 games on a new team. Go ahead, Ryan.
Ooh. I talked to a player from Washington yesterday about losing DeAndre Hopkins in the back of the end zone. And my question was, how do you lose the best dude on the field? He said, because my eyes were fixed on Kyler Murray because I've seen so much run and so much option in the red zone. And that's just how good Kyler Murray is. DeAndre Hopkins broke the record for catches with a new team yesterday in the first 2 games. But Kyler Murray is so dynamic. A defensive back said, my eyes were fixed on Kyler Murray.
Listen, that we think that's the best division in football, and Don't look now. They might be the best team in it. They were 1-15 2 years ago. As we continue, one Aaron is slinging it. The other one is running over people. And why their A-plus performances have the Packers rolling. Is that the best team in the NFC? We're talking about it next. Get up on ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
We are back on Get Up, Packers Lions, a tale of two Aarons. And in this case, it was the best of times, and it was the best of times. Second quarter, Packers down 14-3, but not long. Rodgers, Jones, touchdown.
Great job of using the man coverage pick. They get Jones out in the flat. Easy throw for this offense.
And then just before halftime, Rodgers again.
Oh, this throw is so sick. That tight end puts his foot in the ground. The ball's already coming to the back of his helmet. I loved it.
Third quarter now. The Packers are in front, and Aaron Bye-bye. Jones is gone.
This is what they're doing really good in this offense right now, spreading teams out and getting really good numbers advantages in the box, creating one hole for Aaron Jones, and he hits it really well.
Jones finishes with 168 yards rushing, 68 more receiving, three total touchdowns. They got a couple of AA runs, and right now, Green Bay looking like it might just be the best team in the NFL. And so some will look at that, Rex, and say, see, maybe they didn't get it so wrong in the draft. Is that the way you see it?
No, I say, see, that's why they got it wrong in the draft. I mean, look, you're that close away from being in the Super Bowl. So, hell no. I mean, what, you're going to draft a scout team quarterback and that's why you're having the success you got? No. You could have helped your team anywhere. CeeDee Lamb, whatever. I don't care who it is. You could have improved this team. And here's what I think is going to happen. I think karma's going to get him in the end. I really do. Because if you're drafting, you disrespected Aaron Rodgers, and I think it's going to bite you.
We see that differently. You know, I was one of those people who was okay with them not taking a receiver in the first round. I think the Packers are the crown of the NFC right now. Through 2 weeks, I could tell you why. Their quarterback's playing the best football he's played in a couple years. Their running back is the most underappreciated player in football. Aaron Jones is tied in the for the NFL lead in touchdowns over the last 2 years with Christian McCaffrey. And their receiving core has become more than just Davante Adams. Alan Lazard and Valdez-Scantling have developed into becoming viable options for this football team. And then they have the best offensive line in football. And so this team is the crown or the best group or best team in the NFC through 2 weeks.
RC, let me ask you this. You've had your share of battles with Aaron Rodgers. If his team is going to run for 259 yards as they did yesterday, nobody's going to beat him, right?
No, you're in trouble, especially with the way he's throwing the ball. There were some drops yesterday as well. Right now, I'm just hoping that the Detroit Lions really save up their money, put all of their pennies together, and make sure they buy Aaron Jones a proper Father's Day gift for being their daddy yesterday, because he was all over the field in the run game, in the pass game, and he was amazing, and they could not stop him. This was also, you know, and don't get me wrong, the Packers are good, but let's not get too ahead of ourselves and crown them as the best team in the NFC, because the big brother just beat up on two little brothers who aren't very good right now. If you look at the end of the second quarter, the Detroit Lions have the ball backed up. They take a sack. They give the ball to the Green Bay Packers. The Green Bay Packers come back, score a touchdown. They get the ball out of halftime. Aaron Jones for 75 yards. Right now, the Green Bay Packers are doing the things that they need to do. And Aaron Jones has picked up right where he did last year. But this team still has some holes, still has some deficiencies. And we haven't watched them get dragged into deep water yet. And we saw Davante Adams get a little banged up yesterday. For me, when Rex starts to talk about karma, that would be the karma. If somehow Devontae Adams gets banged up and Lazard, who has stepped up, and Valdez-Scantling, who has stepped up and played better through these first two games, has to carry the load from the wide receiver standpoint. Right now, the Green Bay Packers are doing really well, but they started last year like this too. Let's see what happens as the season gets long.
I totally disagree with that. We saw Devontae get beat up last year. He got banged up last year. I think he missed four games. I think they went 4-0 in those football games. And I'm telling you, those two young receivers have become difference makers. They have grown and developed. RC brings up like a fair point, but when you have the best offensive line in football and a versatile piece like Aaron Jones, you can figure out ways to mask an injury that will last for a couple games because of that. And so
yeah, no,
I think that Devontae Adams,
and that makes sense. That makes sense. But this is what you also have to understand, Dan, right? We've been going back on the film. You go back to last week, you have a young Hilton, you have a young Cam Dantzler who is starting at cornerback. Now mm-hmm. you come to this week, Jeff Okuda plays his first game. He wasn't prepared mm-hmm. to play against receivers like that or a quarterback like that. There's also backups all around the field where the Detroit Lions are bringing in people off the other team's practice squads who are immediately put on the active roster. And I'm not saying that these guys haven't taken a step up. What I'm saying is, for veteran players who have been there, the Green Bay Packers did what they were supposed to do offensively, playing against the people they were playing against. This is no knock on them. I believe they were a good team last year. They're playing well now. But we still have to see, when they get against stiffer competition, what they can do outside from a skilled player standpoint if Devontae Adams is banged up against real dudes.
That's fair. For what it's worth, they're 2-0, both games in the division. The first game was against Minnesota, which I see as a team I know you liked before the season, and so did I. And that brings up, hold on, though. This is fair, and let's show you what the problem might be.
Okay?
Let's talk about DeAndre Hopkins and Stephon Diggs, all right? Because those are two guys who got dealt during the offseason. We knew they were both special players, DeAndre Hopkins and Stephon Diggs. They've both been terrific in their new homes. How terrific? Well, I'm glad you asked. Let me show you some numbers. The two we knew were elite before their offseason trades. After two games this year, Hopkins leads the league in receptions. Diggs leads the league in yards. The two have combined for nearly 40 catches and 450 yards in two games. Their new teams are 4-0. Their old teams are 0-4. By the way, yesterday, Diggs had more receiving yards than the entire Minnesota receiving corps combined on the day. So, RC, well, I have to start with you, Ryan Cook. Why is your head? Why are you doing that?
Man, because I sold out. I went with Kirk Cousins. I said Kirk Cousins is going to lead a team, and they're going to be better than the Green Bay Packers and Aaron Rodgers. And I was all in. And I was all in for a whole stinking offseason. And then I'm reading Dan Orlowski's tweets, and he's like, you see, they got two teams. They traded star receivers, and I'm paraphrasing here, and they suck. And you know, one of those teams is the team I picked that could have an opportunity to win the NFC Championship. Right now, they can't win the KFC championship. They don't know if they want crispy or original.
Rex, let's talk about
it. I gotta watch Dan tweet about it and just rub it in. Then I'm on the show with him. And I know that's why y'all brought this up. And I'm sick, Greeny. That was a stupid trade. We knew there were bad trades. And now you have quarterbacks that have got new contracts and new money that aren't worth the money and aren't living up to the contracts because they don't have the guys. You can't make those decisions.
I mean, those
I'm sorry,
trades,
I'm emotional.
The trade of DeAndre Hopkins, just look at the team he left behind and the team that he comes to. Same thing with Diggs. Rex, your thoughts?
No, absolutely. And Ryan, hell, I thought Minnesota was going to be all right also. They're playing the Colts. I thought they'd win that game. Why? Because, look, the Colts gave up one incompletion to Gardner Minshew.
Yep.
So I'm thinking, oh, this guy's going to have a hell of a day. And by the way, they couldn't stop the run, so Dalvin Cook's going to go crazy. They stunk on offense yesterday against that soft defense. Oh, my God. They made them look like the 85 Bears.
And it's about the receivers, Dan, right? At the end of the day, it's about the receivers.
We always talk about, like, okay, number one, is it worthy of having a star receiver? And you're literally watching it kind of play itself out in the season right now, look at these offenses for Arizona. We just talked about Arizona. They're 2-0, and they're a problem on offense because DeAndre Hopkins has added an element to their offense that they didn't have before, where defensive coordinator's got to go, good, what are we going to do with DeAndre Hopkins? You know, and then Buffalo adds Stephon Diggs, and they've got this young developing quarterback, and all of a sudden it's like, wait, this quarterback, who again, I would put at the top of the list for MVP in the NFL right now, it's because they've got a guy he can win in man coverage. This ball wins him the game, essentially. This deep ball wins him the game yesterday, and so you're looking at a team that has gone, we're a piece away on the outside to becoming a much better offense. Let's go get him. It's worth it. And then Houston, you made your bed. You might as well lay in it. And Minnesota, you made your bed. You wanted to get rid of those two good players because you couldn't get along with them. You're going to feel the ramifications of it.
And look, we talk about the teams receivers join. Hold on, I see one quick second. Because we talk about the teams they join. We just talked about Kyler Murray. You know who else is having an MVP start to the season is Josh Allen. And maybe Diggs is a big part of that.
If you're going to tell me I get two people to pick as MVP of football right now, I'm saying Russell Wilson and Josh Allen. If I have to pick one, I'm saying Josh Allen has meant more to his football team than Russell Wilson is to Seattle. He's my MVP.
RC, 10 seconds, go.
I'm just sick, Greeny. I'm sick. And Josh Allen is balling, and Kirk Cousins stinks. You know why? Because they got rid of his number one. And I agree with Dan. Josh Allen is in the top two for the MVP conversation. And a huge piece of it is because he has a true number one on the outside now. And we've watched his game elevate on downfield throws.
And you,
can't see
Rex,
no downfield
loved...
throws. Kirk Cousins is throwing in the double coverage.
10 seconds, Rex. You've loved Josh Allen from the beginning.
Yeah, because I thought he'd get better and better and better. And that's a tribute to that coaching staff. They've done a hell of a job.
And that is what they have done. All right, I got to take a break here. I could do 4 hours today with all this football. But First Take is coming up next. For most of last night, Stephen A. was trolling Cowboys fans. How does he feel now? You'll hear as First Take follows us in 5 minutes on ESPN. Get Up is brought to you by Domino's. Try Domino's new chicken taco and cheeseburger specialty pizzas. And by the number one brand in prepaid Metro by T-Mobile. All right, tonight, Monday Night Football, and it's a good one. The Raiders' first ever game in Las Vegas against Drew Brees and the Saints. Coverage starts with Monday Night Countdown, 6 Eastern. Then the game's on ESPN ABC and the ESPN app, plus expanded megacast coverage on ESPN2 with Reese and Herbie. Who you got tonight, Dan Orlovsky?
I'm going to take the Saints. Sean Payton, too good. That defense will be too good against the Raiders.
What do you think, Greg?
Yeah, I don't like the Raiders' pass rush against Drew Brees, so I'm going to take the Saints.
All right, we shall see. Again, that's the game tonight. We will be back at Better Than Ever, same time, same place tomorrow. I'll see you noon Eastern on ESPN Radio. First Take starts now.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.